This time on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to be talking about our giveaway. One more week left, folks. We're going to be talking about the latest episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Patriot. We're going to be talking about the weekly Marvel news, your feedback, and any highlights from our live chat room, which you can find at www.geeks.live.
Hi, I'm Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Steven Jondrew, and we're from Better Podcasting, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of the individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Jeffrey Mace. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This is show number 158, discussing the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Episode 10, The Patriot. This show is recorded on Wednesday, January 18th, 2017. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage on Netflix, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of iced robot heads.
If you'd like to talk to us about iced robot heads, you can find us at our website, legendsofshield.com.
You can always send us a voicemail at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
On Facebook, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can find us on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
All of our video podcasts can be found on the Gunna Geek YouTube channel at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Ladies, we've been running this contest for a couple months. We wanted to run it over the holidays because it is a special contest indeed. What we have is some fan art by artist Jamie Faye of Agent, Director, Operational Director, Bill Coulson. It's actually a signed artwork, and it was given to us by friend of the cast, Agent, Consultant. We'll just call him Black Adam. He's a co-host over on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition, and stay tuned to that feed as episodes start to roll out again. And it is 11 by 17, and I actually went out and bought the shipping roll to send it with. So it's going to arrive to you on crease. It's going to be, you know, rolled up, but it's going to be on crease.
You mean you aren't
just
going to wad it up into a ball and stick a stamp on it?
I've thought about it, but no, I'm not going to be doing that. It's good. I'm going to be nice, and I'm going to be sending it out, and it is going to be yours. What do people have to do for it, Lauren?
What people need to do is send us their favorite Coulson moment. Favorite Coulson moment.
Yes, you do. And you need to get it to us by January 25th, 2017, because that's when our live podcast is. So about an hour before. If it's after that, there's odds I'm not going to see it. So send it to us in some way that we can have a record of it. Facebook is probably not the best place to send me a message anymore since Stargate Pioneer is no longer on Facebook. So you can send me a tweet at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. or you can email me at StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com. And Michelle, we got a new entry this week.
Yes, you did. From Andy Minga. Good that I waited. My favorite Coulson moment. Last scene of The Patriot when he takes charge again and outsources all the PR, public face, bureaucracy, essentially all he didn't like to Mace so that he can concentrate on the operational stuff, his home turf.
That was pretty satisfying.
It was.
I think the whole episode was pretty successful. We'll get into it later, but it was a good episode. It was a great episode. Andy, thank you very much for your entry. And folks, like I said, one more week left. Michelle got hers in, I think last week, right? You got yours in on the podcast?
Yes, I did.
All right. So Michelle did, at Borny Bacon, at Anthony Bachman. So a lot of people have put their entries in. It can be yours. It can be, it's free of charge. You just have to wait for the mail for me, which sometimes admittedly takes a little bit because about Saturday mornings when I can get to the post office, but it will be sent your way. All right, ladies, are you ready to talk about this great episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Always. Yes.
So as we start talking about every episode, we talk about the creative team behind so we can thank the real people that make the actors give us the great story that they do. And first, we start talking about the director, Michelle, who directed this episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That would be Kevin Tankeron. He's done 7 Dance Live, 1 Supergirl, 2 The Flash, 19 of Mortal Kombat Legacy.
Finish him.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay, later.
Okay. Let's not go on a tangent. 1 Arrow, 1 Legends of Tomorrow, which will be discussed tomorrow on the Starling Tribune, and 8 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., including Face My Enemy, One of Us, Their Dirty Half Dozen, Space Time, Ascension, The Laws of Infernal Dynamics, and of course, The Patriot.
All really great episodes. We brought this up before because we talked about him with The Laws of Infernal Dynamics, but The Ascension was the penultimate season episode last year. It was really good. Both the penultimate and the season finale were great last year, and he did the penultimate with Ascension. Also, Face My Enemy, The Dirty Half Dozen, Space, all of his stuff is great. So it's not just nepotism that got him the job. He can get the job done. So who wrote this episode, Lauren?
It was written by a pair who, not sure, I think they might be married, James C. Oliver and Sharla Oliver. Sharla has the most credits to her name. She has written 2 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Paradise Lost and The Patriot. She wrote 2 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Slingshot. She wrote an episode of Under the Dome. And she wrote 5 episodes of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Double Agent. She was also a writer's production assistant on Hung and, my favorite, Spartacus for 20 episodes. And James C. Oliver has written with her on Breaking Point, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Slingshot, and this episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And he was an assistant for Under the Dome and Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
You know, I just have to give a handout to the Olivers because one of Steven, he's the owner of the GunnaGeek.com network. One of his favorite shows ever, like he would never, ever, ever miss an episode. He bought all the seasons on both DVD and Blu-ray. He owns digital copies and he continues to watch 2 or 3 episodes every day. Was Under the Dome. He loved that show and he's actually in the chat right now. So, Steven, these are 2 of your favorite writers. I know it. And you just want to say thank you to them for their work on Under the Dome. But I want to say thank you for their work on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because this was actually a really cool episode. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Maybe not my favorite episode of all time, but it was a good one, especially for this season. So we start talking about the meaning of the title, The Patriot. I think it's kind of obvious, but Michelle, what do you think? What do you got?
Well, considering that this is about a project called Patriot and Mace is, you know, also like The Patriot, I'm thinking that's the connection there.
Yeah, you think so? You know, Lauren, what do you think? You think that's the connection?
Yeah, I mean, Jeffrey Mace in the comics was The Patriot and for a while he was also a Captain America. But I think that is definitely a good callback to his comic book identity. As well as the whole Project Patriot thing and sort of just the idea of doing these things for a cause.
Yeah, he has good intentions. I enjoyed him. I think we've all mentioned that he wouldn't be as bad as when he first got on there. I think they undertoned the contention between the team and him after the first few episodes because they had to work together, obviously, to sew up the Ghost Rider thing. But I just want to call attention to the fact that Talbot was looking for another Captain America, and all he had to do was call me. Yeah, that's all he had to do. And he didn't. So he's learned his lesson. If he's looking for a Captain America replacement, he knows. Call Stargate Pioneer. He'll hook you up.
Instead, he picks a guy who tripped at the most interesting moment and got somebody just snapped that picture of when he trips and made him a hero.
What do you think? It was somebody else that was taking a picture by mistake, you know, to complete the circle there. It's like, oh, I got this picture. You must have been saving her.
That's kind of the thing, though, is so much of these big, important moments were done by accident or captured by accident. You know, if you go back to anybody who was in any sort of big, important moment, with very few exceptions, a lot of the people involved just happened to be there by accident or did something without thinking. Or in the case of a lot of photographers, especially amateur photographers, like people with just like cell phone cameras or something like that, just happened to have their camera pointed in the right place at the right time. And you get these iconic historical shots and events and things like that. And just thinking about, I recently got done reading Hidden Figures, which earlier this past year, Dr. Camille Wardrop-Elaine recommended. It just came out as a movie. And one of the things that's pointed out at the beginning is that all these women who were working on this project and just happened to be there and happened to be necessary for this thing just happened to glance at a flyer and just sort of on the spur of the moment because, you know, they had deferred dreams or because it was a better paying job or whatever, just sort of sent off their resumes. And it's just these little moments that caused this huge landslide. And for Mace, it was just this little moment. And then it got bigger and bigger and bigger until now he's the director of SHIELD. And he just happens to have a philosophy that he's like, I want to do what's right. I want to try to help people. And unfortunately, it's just all kind of tangled around this lie.
I think that's one of the reasons why Coulson wants to keep him around, because he does have good intentions. And Coulson realizes that he had no choice really in the whole matter because, you know, he was ordered to do it. And of course, he was going to do it. So for a guy like Mace, it's going to happen that way. And I think Coulson's flipping around. He's like, I hated doing all that crap anyway. I didn't do it when I was director because we were running from the law anyway. So why don't you just deal with that? And then I get to do all the cool, neat operation stuff. And we're both happy until like Director Hill or Director Fury or maybe even Director Johnson takes over because, you know, SHIELD has had quite a few directors over the years.
Yeah, they have. It's kind of a revolving door lately.
I do love the fact that we get the backstory of Mace. We finally figure out what's the picture. And as Haley mentioned last week, they had that little moment in the office between Daisy and Mace just to bring up not necessarily the tension between the two, but to show us the picture and to remind us of Vienna and what happened there, because it was going to be important this week. We kind of saw it coming. And just glad that it turned out the way it did. Unfortunately, we lost Burroughs. PR man Burroughs is gone. And we lost, Mickelson, the pilot, and unnamed agent next to Mace on the platform. So we lost three good agents this episode.
Yeah, it's kind of been a bloodbath if you are a supporting staff member for SHIELD this year.
You think they should wear like
red shirts?
Yeah, red armbands or something like that.
Yeah, take Mace's color-coded system and start applying it to, yeah, an armband or like a little, like, you know, the Imperials have on Star Wars where they have the little things in their pockets.
So Stephen J., generic name in the chat, said, I love the resolve to this whole thing because we know something was wrong with Mace, but this is one that still keeps the character as a good guy and actually makes him even better to me. I love the way it works. So at least with Stephen J., some generic guy that we have in our chat, it worked just fine.
Yeah, y'all have heard me ever since he was introduced, kind of waffling on, you know, I like him, I don't like him, I am suspicious of him. And this episode kind of really solidified for me how I felt about him. I felt bad for him. He was caught up in this lie. He had the best of intentions, but because of his personality and the situation he was thrust in, he kind of overcompensated and was put in this position that really I don't think he should have been put into. I mean, not necessarily as director, but as being kind of thrust into this position of reorganizing all of the stuff while hiding his own lie. If he had been just the face man while somebody else was doing the behind the scenes stuff, I think that could have worked out a lot better. But because all of this stuff fell on him, I think that really sort of affected everything, including the team cohesion. And now that everything's kind of out in the open, I think he and Coulson especially can work together a lot more effectively. And I'm a lot happier to have him around now.
So the one thing that bothers me with the whole storyline of Mac and Coulson and Mace, the one thing that bothers me is, Coulson, you work for S.H.I.E.L.D. and your sunglasses cannot survive a plane crash.
They went to a crappy secondhand vendor when they reorganized.
Yeah, but come on. I mean, they got to be all fixed up, right? They got to be able to withstand, you know, space time travel and explosions and stuff like that. I mean, I just assume it's just S.H.I.E.L.D. gear.
I know. You would think that their glasses would have, you know, like they could monitor because they were security and everything. So, yeah.
You know what he needs to do? They need to go and get like just a pair of like $5 sunglasses from the mall, because those things will last me for years and I will just put them through hell and they'll be fine. But the second I try to get a pair of nice sunglasses, they're dead within a week. So that's what they need to do. Just get the pair of cheap sunglasses and I swear they will last you through a trip to another planet and back.
I don't know if Coulson took sunglasses with him to, what was the name of that planet?
Mavis.
I don't know if Coulson took sunglasses with him. I mean, they didn't need it. He knew it was dark there all the time.
One thing I will not complain about this, you know, the whole bit with Mace, Coulson, and Mac in the woods, them running around in those suits, they looked good.
Oh, especially Mac.
Especially Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could do an entire episode of just him with a hatchet.
Oh my God, why don't they just have
around
everybody just running around wearing really nicely tailored suits and getting in fights? I mean, that would really do it for me.
I love the fact that they brought up that it wasn't actually an axe. He's like, yeah, it's not an axe, but it'll do. It was a hatchet. And he didn't say it was an axe. So that was cool that he brought that up, but he was still wielding it and go, geez, that Hyrider guy, he was like a ninja with those katana swords.
Yeah, I thought it was a machete.
No, well, first it was like a gardening shear, and then later on it was a machete. So I don't know if that was a continuity error or if Mac just knocked out the gardening shears from the guy and the guy picked up some machete. So I'm going to go with B.
I just assumed that, yeah, Mac knocked it out of his hand, so he just started grabbing whatever was available.
This generic Stephen J is becoming more and more of a pain in the chat. He says, SP needs to set a new dress code. Every week on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., he needs to wear a suit. Well, guess what, Stephen J? You've just laid down the gauntlet. Next week, SP, director of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., will be in a suit.
Well, if you wear a suit, I gotta wear a suit.
Go ahead. Go ahead and tell Haley, too. She should be back next week. And
hey, Haley, wear a suit.
Yep, gotta wear a suit, Haley. Next week is Suit Wednesday.
It counts if I wear, like, a suit jacket and, like, yoga pants, right? It counts.
It's podcasting. Nobody knows what you wear below the waist.
Wait, there are pants in podcasting?
Exactly.
We're supposed to wear pants? I did not get this memo about wearing pants while podcasting.
Yeah. No, nobody sees you. And especially me. It's like bust level and that's it. So I could actually be wearing like a cutoff dickie or something and you would never know. All right, let's get back to the episode here. We talked about Matt Coulson and Mace quite a bit. Let's talk about the Awesome May. And I don't care which Awesome May you talk about, but you got to talk about one, either the LMD May or Normal May. They're both awesome.
Let's start off with Person May, like actual human May.
All right.
She fought her way out of a drugged up coma. That's amazing.
Because she knew a day at a spa wasn't real.
Yeah, it was like, you know what it reminded me of? The Matrix, when they mentioned how in like the first iteration, everything was perfect. So everybody knew something was wrong and they just like lost an entire generation. That's what it reminded me of.
Exactly.
Yeah. But also like, I was just so impressed because May's there like fighting her way out of like the sedatives and all the stuff. And I'm there like, man, I take NyQuil and I'm just like flopping around. I have some serious respect for how badass she is.
I know. And she was going to take down Batty. And for those of you who are new to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we call Dr. Radcliffe Batty because of his role, the actor's role in
Spartacus.
In Spartacus, which this week he was reminding me of more than ever, because much like on Spartacus, he's walking around plotting out loud in kind of the same cadence. Like all he needed to be doing was dropping a bunch of F-bombs and references to dongs and stuff, and it would have been Spartacus all over again.
Next week, I just want him in a toga. I just need that.
It's like toga party at S.H.I.E.L.D.
Toga party with Ada and Batty. Yeah, that's great.
That'd be amazing. Do it.
And have special guest star Lucy.
Yes.
Lawless.
Yeah. Who, as we all know, played his wife on Spartacus.
I know.
And she's been in the Marvel Universe, and there is no concrete proof that she is actually dead.
Yeah, have her come back with a robot hand. It's all good.
Or just put her, like they did on Xena, put her in a different wig and call her somebody else. I mean, come on. It's Lucy Lawless.
We are watching, my husband's watching that show for the first time with me and my best friend kind of guiding him through it. It's amazing. We just got to one of the Xena doppelganger episodes. It's great.
The one thing that was really cool was when May was doing the kick up to Dr. Batty and Ada actually just stopped her mid-kick and then gave her the drug to knock her out all at the same time. And it's like, if it wasn't for Ada, Dr. Batty would not have his head anymore.
A sedative?
Of course, Dr. Batty was like, oh, good job, Ada, for not killing her. Good job.
Okay, is it just me or is him constantly kind of nagging on Ada about the whole killing thing going to mean that eventually she's going to get fed up and snap his neck? Because be nice to the robots.
Yeah, he is like, you're doing too good of a job. Like, who wants to be told they're doing too good of a job? You're following your programming too well. And she's
he's
like,
just belittling her. It's rude.
Oh, he's so batty. Oh.
He is. Now, Stephen Jay in the chat, again, generic name. I have no idea who this Stephen Jay is. He said, to me, her waking up at the start was super obvious. From the second they said that May was in a good place, or whatever they said, you know it was because she can't handle all being okay. And that's entirely true. It's like, I was thinking, she's getting a stone hot massage? Yeah, though, she's going to fight her way out of that massage room. That is definitely going to happen. So, yes, it was obvious, but the fact that she came out of the drug-induced coma and then fought the way she did was just awesome. It was great.
And now they're going to have to give her someone to fight to be her perfect, you know, or just to keep her occupied and not realizing that there's something going on.
Yeah, because I thought when she ripped off everything that LMD May would have like gone offline, because I still would like to know how LMD May has memories of her and Coulson being, oh, I forget where, with Lola and, you know, in the car and stuff. Like, she seems to have these memories.
I have a theory on that. My theory is that they used her time unconscious to, like, basically scan her brain, make a sort of an imperfect copy, so that if you were comparing it to software, so that she's able to kind of take that template and run off of it. Because, you know, our brains have distinct patterns of folds and neural connections and stuff like that. So in theory, if you could figure out a way to copy those connections and copy all of that, there might be some sort of way to, and again, this is all in theory because I don't know all that much about neurology and stuff like that in that particular regard, but I've seen a bit of this kicked around. If you could make a perfect enough copy of that, you could potentially
upload it into a robot.
Yeah, upload it. Yeah, and because she is a an advanced, because Maybot is an advanced LMD, she's more able to do that. And because she's working off a template, unlike Ada, who is, you know, kind of a built from scratch blank slate, that might be part of why she's also able to function more easily as, and more undetected as, like, a person, because she has that template to run off of. I'm wondering. Again, I'm just kind of spitballing here, but it kind of makes sense to me.
And she knows that there's something off. She knows that there, yeah. She even mentions it. And I am curious as to where it's going to go now, because she knows she's not May. And now the questions are going to start, and she's going to try to investigate it. And right now she's alone. And if she goes to somebody else, they're going to lock her up, because it's obviously not May, and they're going to start searching for May.
Yeah, we're having our, like, Boomer and BSG moment.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting how this progresses. And I think we're going to explore a lot of it next week, because they're trying to contain the real May, and that will be interesting. Steven brought up something in the chat that she is going to think that she breaks out, but it's all going to be in a dream. And we've seen this scenario over and over with holodecks and whatever on Star Trek, where you think you're out, but you're actually still within the dream construct. So that's where I'm thinking that it's going. A lot of obvious ways to go forward here. So I'm hoping they surprise me, but who knows? It's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. network TV. Maybe, maybe not. Lauren, you need to talk about your peeps now. You need to talk about your science babies.
Okay, so we have a bit of friction going on between Fitz and Simmons, because Fitz is still hung up on robot stuff, and Simmons is like, ugh, get over it. She doesn't want anyone working on Ada's disembodied head. But my favorite part of the episode, she finds a good use for that disembodied head when interrogating somebody.
She godfathered him.
She godfathered him. It was so great. So earlier in the episode, I forget, was she involved in taking down that guy or? Anyway, so there's no, it was this Russian guy that comes in and he's like, you know, playing tough and everything. So Simmons comes in and they're doing, you know, the whole kind of not really good cop, bad cop, but they're like, oh, you think that, you know, this little scientist is nothing. She's like, I'm going to show you why they don't mess with me or whatever. And she opens this container and it's Ada's head splashed with like fake blood in ice. And I died laughing. It was amazing. Simmons is so great. I love her.
I loved that she used, because the guy, you know, he was the sniper that failed.
Yeah.
And he's not only like ex-KGB, but he's also ex-Hydra. And she was like, I was undercover with Hydra and, you know, learning went both ways. And I picked up, and she unrolls all those tools and she's like, I will get into your head and you will tell me these things. And gosh, it was so beautiful.
It was, oh, I love Simmons. She's grown up so much. I love her.
But now Fitz has gone behind her back, because Fitz has got a great phone. He's able to download all of Ada into, and that was kind of creepy where he's talking to the head. Like, I will find out why you're broken, how that happened. And she's like, thank you. And it's like,
that was creepy as hell.
That was very creepy. I was like, oh,
it's like a little bit like freaking Reanimator right there. But yeah, on the one hand, I mean, I sympathize with Fitz. He's an engineer. He sees a problem. He wants to dig deeper and know how to fix it, because he's like, okay, this was a thing that should not have happened. I cannot let this problem rest. And he has an attachment to Ada because he wasn't there at her creation, but he kind of has a hand in seeing how she works. And I think he is going into this with the best of intentions, but unfortunately, Dr. Batty does not have the best of intentions. But what if he, like, does this and helps and we get good robots from Fitz?
Yeah, I'm surprised nobody wants to study why Ada broke. I mean, and the fact that, you know, one of the things that we talked about last week, because last week's episode was very much of Mac and Yo-Yo doing the commentary. And one of the things we mentioned, it's like, wait a minute, there's always the sequel. And how come they're not questioning Dr. Batty? I really thought they would have Dr. Batty in headquarters or something going, is this really the only one questioning him and stuff? Because, you know, there's the sequel.
For people so genre savvy, they have a big blind spot.
Yeah, it's like, well, aren't you suspicious of him? Why isn't he locked up? Why are you just telling him, oh, don't come by HQ anymore. Just stay in your ultra high tech lab where you can make more of these things. Cause it's not like they went in and took away any of his toys. So I don't know what they're thinking. It's disappointing.
Yeah. Or it could be an elaborate sting operation, but no, I think that it's probably them just with a big blind spot.
So speculation is that Fitz is going to recreate Ada and they're going to get May. So it's going to be original Mark One Ada and May and against Robo May and Terminator. Could be a big fight.
That was terrible.
I wasn't even the one who came up with it. I'm just repeating what I heard.
And that was terrible from them. And besides, it's Terminator.
Okay. All right.
Which is still terrible, but...
Fair enough, fair enough. Okay, we have to talk about another couple that came on this episode from the past of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And of course, we're talking about General Talbot and General Talbot's mustache.
Oh, I was so happy.
I know. Oh, my goodness.
It's one of those things where it shouldn't be funny, but it's so funny every time he comes on. And Adrian Pasdar has this weird hilarity to him. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, whenever he's acting, it's not that he's like straight-laced, but it's that kind of, I don't know, the way that he plays Talbot is just so great because it's this person who you could tell is trying to be by the books and everything, but then he has this ridiculous mustache and this ridiculous haircut and his freaking phone, and he just takes himself so seriously. So, of course, the audience can't take him seriously at all, and it's amazing.
Oh, I just love how Gemma is. Gemma's like, you know, right now I outrank you. I should be doing. And he's like, no, 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 no. And you know, and his mustache is also going, no, 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 no. It was good to see him again.
So Steven's having a little bit of an issue with the whole thing. His latest comment in the chat said, they have a responsibility to get to the bottom of what went wrong and how they can prevent self-awareness happening, even though it didn't actually happen, but they don't know it. And yeah, I mean, the whole Avengers deal with AI and robots and stuff like that comes to mind. Like, if you can, I won't say control it, but if you could push it off in the right direction, you're going to be a lot better off than allowing somebody to try to destroy the world.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. No one has said Ultron.
Wanted to mention of why they're probably scared about Ada. I forgot, like, within a second of thinking it. Because of the whole Ultron thing, I think everybody is very skittish about AI. And you sort of see it when they introduce Ada, they're like, oh, my God, what were you thinking? Remember Ultron. But then they don't, nobody seems to remember. We got Vision out of that, too. We can get a new Vision, maybe with Fitz's help. Maybe not, like, Vision, but.
It's like they mentioned the Sokovia Accords at the beginning of the season. I mean, isn't there like another clause in the Sokovia Accords that is like, by the way, don't make robots that look like people or can think for themselves? There's no clause in that, in the Sokovia Accords about that? Did they skip the whole don't make another Ultron?
You think they would have. It's sort of like we have all these rules against human cloning right now, and it's not because we've had any, like, as far as we know, horrible human cloning accidents. But we're just sort of thinking ahead. And this is a world where you have had horrible problems with sentient AI. So you think you might want to start making rules against that since, you know, it's happened. Stepping back a little bit, I wanted to bring this up. The best tweet I saw of yesterday was from @AgentM, who doesn't follow us, but I wish he did. I want to live in Talbot's mustache. Just curl up and listen to him hurl nicknames and insults and grumpiness.
That was great. And actually, Christy retweeted that towards us, and she said, pretty sure this is the tweet of the night. And I agreed. I put that in our feedback session with Christy. But Agent M, yes, thank you very much for saying that. That was pretty cool. So a couple quick hits. We're going to need to move on here shortly, but a couple quick hits. First of all, Yo-Yo was not in this episode. We did not see Yo-Yo. So I don't know what's going on with Yo-Yo and Mac, but Mac was on the job. Where's Yo-Yo? The bus came back. We've gone a couple episodes without the bus. We actually got the bus back. We didn't get a full bus suite. So obviously saving some shots or CGI or some scenes or something like that. But we actually were in the bus and we were in Lola. May and Daisy were in Lola. It was great. Daisy, by the way, Agent Johnson is back and she's bad and she's doing all sorts of great SHIELD stuff. So that was good to see. We did not hear hide nor hair of the Superior, which was name dropped at the end of last episode. So that's important to know. And poor Agent Burrows gets sucked out of the aircraft. And the only thing that I could think, and actually I believe it was tweeted by, and we'll talk about it later, was I wonder how many bars he got on the way down.
Oh, that's so cruel.
I know. Finally, the Darkhold book, it's still out there. Dr. Batty is still trying to get it, as obvious. He's playing the long game, but now he's got this LMD who's slowly becoming self-aware that she's an LMD pretty dang quick. I think basically she does. And she doesn't know what she is, but she knows she's something. And she doesn't know her programming is to get the Darkhold book. So there's that.
She has a big slice on the back of her shoulder. She's like, oh, there's blood. Poke, poke. Is that metal?
Gee, I wonder what that is. I'm a Cylon again. Wait.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you can see the BSG influence coming through and I'm okay with this.
Yeah. Is she one of the final five?
Maybe.
Huh. Yeah, maybe.
The hidden final five. You guys, weren't the final five like really the final seven? They dropped two?
I don't even remember. Yeah, it was
so long ago, right? It's
been a while. Every time I start watching that show again, I'll get like towards season two and then remember, oh no, eventually I'm going to have to get to season four and I'm going to cry so hard. And so I just kind of stop because I get really depressed about crying.
Okay, so we're going to move on and not make Lauren cry, and we're going to move on to the news. Michelle, you got anything left in the tank on this episode?
I thought it was interesting how they're really selling Daisy's undercover story and able to make all of that wrap up in a nice little bow.
I loved at the beginning where Mace is like doing this big presentation and Daisy's like, I would literally rather be anywhere else but here.
It was a great episode. I enjoyed it. It was fun to watch, and I'm glad we get to podcast on it because I like podcasting about fun episodes, and this was a fun episode, at least to me. So, all right, here we go on to the news. All right, we have a kind of stocked full news section this week, and we're going to have to roll through it very quickly, but first, we're going to go through the highlight story of the week, which is about the Inhumans.
Yep. There was leaked Inhumans casting notes that confirms kind of who the characters are. They're all with code names, but it's really easy to tell who they are. There's like Broderick, male, can say volumes with just a look, so it's Black Bolt. Marjorie, female, an elegant and intelligent advisor to her husband. It's Medusa, and then so on and so forth. I'm just kind of disappointed, and I know why. I'm kind of disappointed Lockjaw's not on here, but considering Lockjaw's a gigantic dog, it's understandable why.
Yep. So just didn't want to tell you, Lauren, but we did talk about this last week, but aww, I knew you were excited about it, so I wanted to give it to you. So yeah, we were okay. All excited about learning about the royal family being on the Inhumans. All right. So next we're going to talk about some ratings. Usually I talk about these, but they've been depressing me all year, so I haven't talked about them.
Yeah, I'm sorry, SP. I can't really give you any good news. According to Deadline, ABC's Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got a 0.6, which fell 0.2 to a series low at 10 p.m. It's series low, but they do note that it's almost one of the most DVR'd shows, so that number usually rises.
Mm-hmm.
The whole it being the one of the most DVR'd shows kind of signals to me that maybe the move to 10 p.m. wasn't a good idea, because that's probably one of the reasons why people are DVRing it, because it's like 10 p.m. I don't want to watch that then. But it's sad.
The Live Plus 7 ratings for last week were 2.72, which was a bump up. It was the third highest ranking of the nine shows to that point in time. So it was in the top third. The highest was The Ghost, which was the season premiere at 3.44. And the second one was the second episode, which was Meet the New Boss, 2.95. And then it dropped from there. But these are all Live Plus 7 ranking or numbers in millions of viewers for all categories. So I was unclear as to what that 0.06 was. Was that like the demographic or was that all viewers?
18 to 49.
Okay, so it wasn't all viewers. It was 18 to 49. Okay.
Nine.
Which is still the important.
The one advertisers love.
Yeah. So as we've mentioned before on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we are really not expecting to get another season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And the only reason why would be that Disney specifically and Marvel, the subsidiary, force ABC to have something on television. And we're wondering how this all works with the Inhumans series that's supposed to come out next year. And of course, Marvel is throwing everything they can into Netflix because they have done nothing wrong there. They've done everything right. And they just can't get the same thing on TV for whatever reason. So I think we're looking at the last season. Possibly we'll get like a half a season next year, maybe. As they transition, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, it's not looking good. And that's why we're not really talking about ratings, but we're being realistic here. We just don't think that the show is going to last. All right. Are we going to see a Ghost Rider again?
No.
Well, it's saying don't expect to see that second Ghost Rider again. You know, the totally not Johnny Blaze.
You mean the first one as he passed on the torch?
Technically the first one, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, they can't afford that one. So maybe some thought that like the Spirit of Vengeance, like we would see Johnny Blaze or something like that. So producer Jeff Bell has said that there's no further plans for the mysterious second writer. But he also confirmed that there's only one Spirit of Vengeance passed from person to person. You know, that's what they're saying. So in that respect, he says, at least our intention was that the Spirit of Vengeance was passed from one person to another who would pass that on. And there are suggestions within the storytelling. That's as far as we're going to take that part. So it's almost as though that they're going to drop the Ghost Rider, which is interesting.
Yeah, we knew they were going to. The hope was that they were going to roll it into Netflix possibly at this point. Because the CGI is just, it's too expensive to do on a show on network TV. CW might be different, but network TV gets below a 3 rating. That is cancellation territory all over the place. So, sorry, Marvel and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We really want to see this succeed, but we see the writing on the wall, especially after you canceled Agent Carter on us.
Yeah, but you know, Netflix kind of has its own Marvel universe. Like, it's all about, like, the Defenders and stuff. And, like, the Punisher's an outgrowth of Daredevil and things like that.
You don't think the Ghost Rider could work in that universe?
I don't know.
I think he could. I think they'd have to want to do it. But I think they would point to the ratings of the first half of the season and go, it didn't get us much on network TV. So, yeah, I think it's kind of done for now. There was thoughts about moving it, but we covered several stories about that, but I don't see it happening. Anyway, talking about Netflix, we have our first look at Defenders.
Yep, on EW.com, they have exclusive photos of Marvel's The Defenders. The one that I'm sort of just like, about is the very first one. At first glance, it looks really cool. It's the whole, it's, there's graffiti. It says like public enemies, and enemies is sprayed out and it says defenders. And there's Luke Cage looking awesome in the yellow shirt. And there's Daredevil looking really dapper in a suit. And there's Iron Fist looking like a bum. And then there's Jessica Jones looking like Jessica Jones. But of course, she's the one giving us the gratuitous butt shot. It couldn't have been anyone else. Like,
oh, it's Black Widow all over again.
It is. But then another shot, it's Iron Fist and Colleen Wing. Next one, Sigourney Weaver as the bad guy. Then we have Misty Knight and Jessica Jones, who is wearing handcuffs and mittens. Then there's an ad. Then there's Luke Cage in jail. Daredevil backlit by red light. Jessica Jones blacklit by purple and blue light. Luke Cage backlit by yellow light. And Iron Fist backlit by green light. And then the cover, with like the very comic book style, well, the Entertainment Weekly cover with the very comic book style logos for each of their names, and it looks cool.
It does indeed. I'm really looking forward to the Defenders. And oh, by the way, I recognize you ladies' issues, but I'm for one glad that they gave the butt shot to Jessica.
We couldn't have gotten Mike Coulter giving us the butt shot, though. I mean, that butt.
Yeah, I mean, they could have done them giving us both the butt shot. Like, he could have been standing up.
If they would do one where they are all giving us butt shots, I'd be okay with it.
Exactly. Either everyone's giving butt shots or no butt shots.
Yes. All I'm asking for is butt shot equality.
Exactly.
Talking about butt shotting quality, we have news that Peter Dinklage is in early talks for Infinity War, and I'm only wondering if he's going to play out of character and not play a drunken space royalty.
Well, according to Variety.com, he's being eyed for a key role in Infinity War.
Ah.
So I don't know who that would be, but I'm really curious. Like, will it be motion capture? Will it be a voice? Will it be, you know, in person? Will he be wearing makeup? I'm really curious.
I have to admit, part of my brain was like, wait a minute, he was already in it. Oh, that's a Fox movie.
Yeah,
Marvel,
that was
movie.
A Fox one. He's free. Like, he, if that works out, he and Chris Evans will both have been in a Fox Marvel movie and then come over, because Chris Evans was Johnny Storm. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'm excited.
And was it the new Johnny Storm? Isn't he in the Black Panther movie?
Yeah, he's
movie?
In the Black Panther movie too. So that's another crossover from Fox.
There we go.
Yeah.
For those of us that want to see the X-Men rejoin everything, that would be cool. But I just don't think financially they're not in Sony desperation mode with Spider-Man at the moment. So I just don't think that is going to happen. And oh, by the way, talking about Spider-Man, we got some Miles Morales news.
Yes, we do. This makes me happy. And I've sort of seen it coming, but it still makes me happy to have this confirmed. The animated Spider-Man movie has its star. Miles Morales, Ultimate Spider-Man, has been confirmed as the protagonist of Phil Lord and Chris Miller's upcoming animated movie. This was announced today, January 18th. Today's the 18th, right? Yes.
Yep. Yes.
As we record, it's the 18th. I am not good with dates. But yeah, it's been a rumor for a long time. There was like a casting thing. I guess it was maybe a couple weeks ago that had everyone kind of speculating. And to have it confirmed makes me extremely happy. I've been a fan of Miles Morales since he was introduced. And I'm really happy to have him coming in any form. And I'm wondering if they're going to have an animated spinoff of this, because they just wrapped up Ultimate Spider-Man on TV like last week.
Oh, this is going to be in theaters.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I thought it was going to be an animated show too, but then I was like, oh no, it's a movie. Awesome.
Can't wait. It's going to be good. Any Spider-Man is good Spider-Man. And I'm wearing my Captain America jersey. I think I'll wear my Spider-Man jersey next time.
I'm wearing my Hufflepuff shirt.
Yeah, y'all got to get in on this geeky jerseys thing. It's great. All right, that's it for the news. We're going to move on to some feedback. We actually got a ton of feedback today, so we're going to roll through it really quickly. First of all, we got a tweet from Andy Bingna. And after the last podcast, he said, I watched Slingshot yesterday, didn't see a Stan Lee bobblehead like I had mentioned in the box as Coulson was going down in the first episode of Slingshot, but I did see this pic. Ladies, did you see this?
Oh, the picture of Stan Lee. That's cool.
Yeah.
Aw.
So we got some Stan in there. He did do his cameo. I think we're going to see more and more of those cameos, of course, as Stan Lee's health continues.
Yeah. He's actually just signed for Dallas Fan Expo, and he's saying that this is going to be his last time in Texas. So I'm trying to decide if I want to go to that or not. It's like, on the one hand, save money for a big con that I want to go to this summer, and on the other hand, Stan Lee.
Yeah, C2E2, he's announced that's his last C2E2, so.
I didn't realize it, but the one San Diego Comic-Con that I went to, I actually went to a panel with him. I might have talked about it on the podcast here before. It was actually just a panel about makeup and the comics and how they've progressed with being able to do prosthetics and stuff like that on screen. So he didn't talk too much about the comics and comic characters. He was all into the actual production behind the scenes of actual films and TV shows and stuff like that, for not just comics, but, you know, horror movies and stuff like that. So it was awesome that I remember seeing him, and I won't get a chance to see him again, but it would be, if you are around and he's going to be close to your area for a convention and he's saying it's the last, go to it. You will not be disappointed.
I feel like maybe I shouldn't be greedy, because I did get to stand like 20 feet away from him at a con that I recorded a panel for this podcast like a few years ago. It was the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cast, and then he and Lou Ferrigno crashed the panel.
Yeah, that was fun.
And I about had a heart attack.
That's great. Lou Ferrigno came. Did he come in first? Yeah, he came in first, and then Lou.
Yeah, Ferrigno he came in came. First, and then Stan Lee followed him, and the crowd went nuts.
Yeah, that was great. All right, moving on again. At Born to Eat Bacon tweeted us, and he said the bottom shelf, and this is going back to last week when he was talking about his pictures of bobbleheads, because we were commenting. Michelle, remember we were commenting on the three shelves and everything. He's saying the bottom shelf is quote unquote Johnny's shelf of evil. The red-eyed guy in the center is actually, because we were wondering who that was, it was actually Crowley from
Supernatural
with a scotch. So,
oh gosh, it's been a while since I've watched Supernatural. That's why I did not. They killed Charlie, so I was out.
Yeah, I mean, you kill Felicia Day, and I'm suspect on your show, man. That's not a good thing.
Exactly.
I need to catch up on my Supernatural. Christy was actually very active in this past week. She retweeted Natalie Abrams, and she said, looks like lanyards will be part of the dress code on January 31st. And that means that we get what?
We get Patton Oswalt back. The Koenig family secret is going to be revealed.
I can't wait. It's going to be great. It really is. We've been waiting for him to come back. We know he's had some, Patton Oswalt, the actor, has had some very dramatic personal stuff happens, and it's just great to see him back. Thank you very much for coming back, Patton. We really are looking forward to this episode. 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So moving on, at Starsaber underscore 222, that's the Black Adam that gave us the poster that we're giving away. He retweeted comic books resources and said basically the same thing, that Koenig would be coming on, and he will be revealing the family secret. So that's going to be. What does Mr. Pericletes have to say, Lauren?
He says, so basically, Sigourney Weaver is playing Ripley in The Defenders, and he's referring to an article from EpicStream.com where they sort of talk a little bit about Sigourney Weaver's villain, Alexandra. The Defenders producer Marco Ramirez introduces Sigourney's character as an utter badass and says, Sigourney's the kind of person you can buy as the smartest person in the room, who you can also buy as the person holding a flamethrower. Her character is a very powerful force in New York City. She's everything Sigourney is. Sophisticated, intellectual, dangerous.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
Yeah, a friend of mine met her at Comic Palooza last year, and she's awesome.
How can she not? She's the queen of sci-fi, right?
She really is. She was there for the like Aliens reunion, and yeah, she was just so nice to the fans, and like, yeah, it was, from what I understand, just a very good experience. I was off. I forget I think I might have been getting my picture taken with a Backstreet Boy at the time. But look, we all have our dreams, okay?
Yeah, mine's season 13. Okay, Backstreet Boys is yours. Got
but,
it.
But look, 13-year-old me is just still screaming over that. But no, my friend Nick got his picture taken with her. And yeah, he said she was just fantastic.
Adadonna Girl tweeted us and she said, Little Miss Richter scale. That is a great nickname.
It really is. Talbot's nickname, or what he called Quake Daisy.
Yeah. And talking about Talbot, you mentioned before Christy, and we've got in the notes her retweet to us of Agent M on Talbot's mustache. And she also retweeted not only Agent M, but she retweeted Wheaton-esque, didn't she?
Yes, Agent May is the best, a song we sing every episode.
And Christy said, can we all just be Ming-Na when we grow up? Well, I think she's like awesome, but I got some gender issues that I'd have to work out before I did that.
Look, Ming-Na's badassness transcends gender, okay?
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Michelle, what else did Christy have to say to us?
Erskine shout out.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It was a shout out to the superhero serum, the one that made Captain America.
No, it's the one Daisy's father did. The formula that's used for Mace is a refined version of the thing Daisy's father made.
Right, but they gave a shout out to Erskine during the episode as well.
Right, but just so you know, that's not what Mace is on. Mace is on what Daisy's dad did.
Yeah, fair enough. I stand corrected. That's fair enough. They both were referenced in the same episode, and we didn't talk about it before. So there you go. There's your Erskine shout out. So thank you very much, Christy, for bringing that up. Lauren, I'm kind of confused about this one from Born to Eat Bacon. Can you enlighten me, please?
Yeah, it's a quote from the episode. If a jet crashes in the woods and there's no one there to hear it, stay close to the guy with super strength.
Ah, but he didn't have super strength.
So
there we go.
Everything special from him came out of a bottle.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the next two tweets are concerning a spoiler. So thank you very much, gentlemen, for spoiling something in Luke Cage for me.
Womp womp.
Right. And I deserve to be spoiled at this point, I guess, if I haven't seen it. But both Annie Minga and at Kodiak GWC tweeted us, and they referenced both a quote of the episode and basically what they were quoting, which is the bullets. Annie Minga said, they don't sell those at Walmart yet. And that was a quote from the episode. But Lauren, there was also another one from Kodiak.
Yes. So he linked us to a tweet from Screen Rant talking about the link to Luke Cage. The bullet that was fired at the beginning of the episode, the one that, you know, caused all the, looked like I made a firework joke when it happened, is a Judas bullet from Luke Cage.
I'm looking forward to figuring out how that fits in the story, guys. So if I can have my way, no more Judas bullet spoilers, people, but I know I'm late to the party. So there. All right. Are you ladies ready to hear from Adam? Because he gave us a voicemail on his feedback from this episode.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Hey, guys, it's Adam calling in with feedback on this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and while this LMD stuff's moving a bit faster than I thought it would, with May already knowing that something's going on, well, the android May, and the real May since she broke out of her matrix, Fitz keeping the aid ahead and seemingly trying to fix it seems like really bad idea. But at the same time, I'm wondering if this means that at the end we'll have Fitz's Ada and real May against Radcliffe's Ada and the Terminator, which could be interesting. Just, you know, one step past the May versus May fight from a couple seasons ago. I like what they were doing with Mace in this episode, really getting into who he really is, just a bureaucrat who got lucky and then got super soldier serum, essentially. And I think that Coulson made the right choice there, leaving him as the public face of S.H.I.E.L.D. Talbot being there, honestly, I think it was just to have a sort of antagonist inside S.H.I.E.L.D. And, I mean, I suppose him being in charge of the program that gave Mace his powers could have been what was going on there. Well, but always good to see him. Not quite as good to see his mustache, but you know what I mean. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you very much, Black Adam, for getting a hold of us. And for everybody out there, feel free to give our voicemail line a call after the episode, 844-843-2871 or 844-THE-BUS-1. We would really love to actually hear from you, and we can play your voice on the podcast versus read your tweets. So, ladies, what do you think about Adam's voicemail?
I think he had a lot of good points.
Michelle?
Yeah. You know, part of me is just kind of hoping that LMD May actually confesses. You know, maybe she might think maybe I died and this is another Tahiti moment sort of deal. I don't know. It would. I really hope they don't do the secret thing. And
yeah.
I don't want another May on May fight because
we already had one.
Like, we've already had one. Like Black Adam pointed out, we've had one.
What if we get like another May LMD and we get like a three May fight?
Three way May. I like it.
But in all seriousness, yeah, I do also kind of hope they go somewhere like unexpected with it. And also, I love a good pun nickname. Y'all need some bad pun nicknames. I love it. Keep them coming.
Yeah, I have to admit that what I got before was from Black Adam. So there you go. All right. Any other feedback that you ladies want to say before we start walking? Nope. All right.
Nope.
We're going to walk this one out. Next week, we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Episode 11, Wake Up! Yep, that's obvious. May, wake up. May, wake up. You can find our live streams every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central at www.geeks.live.
And again, you can find us at our website, legendsofshield.com.
Our voicemail is 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
If you want to find us on Facebook, go ahead and find facebook.com/Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. and these ladies will be enlightened to respond to you.
And you can remember, you can find us on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
On Tumblr, we are legendsofshield.tumblr.com.
Don't forget, you can find us at YouTube, youtube.com/GunnaGeek. Want to thank everybody for staying with us tonight. Want to thank everybody, including Stephen J. Generic Name, for joining us in the chat tonight. Was really glad to have you with us. And I know there's been several people that have been watching us and listening to us live. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you for having me on the show again. I appreciate it.
It's going to get to you in a second. Thank you very much for coming on, Michelle. It was kind of a last minute switch out that Haley couldn't be here. So really appreciate you being here. And oh, by the way, if people want to check your content out, where can they go?
I'm at Michelle Ely on Twitter, and I write for the Gunna Geek site, and I am a co-host of the Starling Tribune podcast.
Woohoo! You know, we got to arrange a meetup this spring somewhere. We'll have to keep people informed on that, huh?
Yeah, I miss y'all.
Yeah.
We'd also like to thank everybody who comments on any of our social media, whether it's Facebook or Twitter. If you join up on live tweets, if you tweet us while you're watching from a different time zone, if you tweet us news stories during the week, if you comment on our Facebook, just whatever. We love it. We love you. Thank you.
And since Haley's not here, I will just bring up, remember our contest. You have 1 week or less, since you're probably listening to this later, January 25th, 2017, for your chance to win this great fan art of agent/director/operational director, Coulson. Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. Until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
See you guys next week. Bye!
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Alexa, sound check.
Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3.
Can you rename it?
There are three names that you can give it. You can give it, I guess, like four now, but I haven't played with the fourth. You can either name it Amazon, Echo, or Alexa, and I guess now computer. So you can play Star Trek 4 now.
I was going to say you should name it Ada.
Oh, Alexa, stop alarm.
Y'all people with your robots.
I make sure I'm polite to my robot.
There's a lesson there.
Alexa, are you a robot?
I like to imagine myself a bit like an aurora borealis, a surge of charged multicolored photons dancing through the atmosphere. Mostly, though, I am just Alexa.
That is a philosophical damn robot.
Yep.
CBS gives go for Mission Control TV pilot from the author of The Martian.
I heard about that.
Andy Weir. Nice. Huh. I like him. He's a nice guy.
Scott still has not seen that movie.
He's missing out. That's all I got to say.
I know. I think because everyone loved it now, he's like all hipster about it. Like,
I was doing rockets before rockets were cool on TV.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. Although I am going to insist that he comes with me to go see Hidden Figures. So,
I still
which
to
I
see
just
that.
Finished the book. Fantastic.
Michelle, have you seen the movie yet?
Not yet. I want to so bad.
Yeah, me too. It might be this weekend. I'm hoping
it's still. Yeah, that was the one that when I did that interview with Dr. Wardrop, Dr. Elaine, she was the one, she recommended that book. And yeah, it's fantastic. Like, I just finished the audiobook.
I can't wait to see it. Looking forward to it. I am.
You've heard my engineer and spreadsheets theory, right?
No, go ahead. What's okay. Your engineer and spreadsheet theory?
Okay, so I've noticed this with Scott. He lives his life by spreadsheets. He will create spreadsheets for everything. And then I started noticing that a lot of my other engineering friends do this too. So I started asking, because I know a lot of people in two professions. I know a lot of engineers and I know a lot of lawyers. So I started asking all my engineering friends, and anytime I met somebody who is dating an engineer, married to an engineer, knows an engineer, spreadsheets, do they do them? And the answer is always yes. So I it's one of those things where, and then I asked Scott about it. He's like, well, that's how they teach us to think. And it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, is it a case of the personality going because this is how this person thinks already, being drawn to this sort of career? Or is it a case of this is how they're being taught to think? Or is it just kind of a feedback loop? And as far as I can tell, it's a bit of a feedback loop.
That's right. Because if you get something wrong, you have to figure out what you did wrong. And if you can't go back and point out what you did, then it's an issue. So MATLAB, computer programming, Fortran 77 back in my day, or an Excel spreadsheet. That's it. That's how you do it.
Yeah, whereas all of the biologists that I've ever met tend to be on the scale of obsessive compulsive, which is a good thing in a biology lab. So it's kind of selected for, and kind of cluttered and crazy.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
How many accountants do you know?
A few. I have some relatives.
Are they spreadsheet people?
You know, I've never asked them. I'm going to have to ask John next time I talk to him.
They are a secret. They are. Yep.
Yeah, for my job, I have to use spreadsheets because it's the only way I can display data and then filter it when I need it and stuff. And it took a couple year process, but then eventually everyone was like, look at what all you can do in Excel. And it was like, look at what all you can do. And it's like, great. Now I've been drawn to the dark side of spreadsheets, and that's where I live.
All right. We're out. I mean, we're still live. Spreaker, YouTube. Yep. We got you all here, but we're done with the podcast. Yay. No more podcast. Thanks. We're done.
Oh gosh. Like my favorite moment, because my favorite Coulson moment is when he has the shield come out of his hand, and that he did amazing. It again this episode. And I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, he did. It was great. Oh, and he did it to protect the Patriot too.
Yeah. So it's the Captain America-esque shield from the robot hand protecting the director, who is a, yeah, that was something.
Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.